welcome to the Illinois Realtors Weekly Podcast, keeping you up to date with all the latest news in the realtor world. I'm Stephanie Sievers, Illinois Realtors Director of Marketing, and today I'm stepping into the role of guest host to focus on the NAR class action settlement and what it means for you. But I'm not alone today. I'm joined by Betsy Urbance, Illinois Realtors, General Counsel and Vice President of Legal Services. Welcome to the podcast, Betsy.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. It's been quite a last couple weeks.
Betsy, can you tell us why did NAR enter the settlement?
Well, per NAR's own words, they entered the settlement for two main reasons. Number one, to get a release from liability for as many realtors as possible. And secondly, to preserve consumer choice for real estate services and for real estate brokers to be compensated.
What are the major or key terms of the settlement?
Okay, these are great questions, some of which are more complicated than others. But what I'm going to do is give you a broad overview of the key terms and then come back and get a little more specific on some of those terms. So first, NAR was looking for a release of liability for as many realtors as possible. Secondly, the compensation question, where the compensation, while still allowed, could not be offered via MLSs. Third, the settlement involves written agreements for buyers. So buyers will now need to have written representation agreements with their buyer brokers before touring homes. More on that later. Fourth, NAR would make a payment in order to get this release of liability for so many of its members over the next few years. The total of that will be $418 million. There is a payment plan set forth for that. And finally, and very importantly, there was no, in the settlement, NAR does not admit any wrongdoing. So you pay to get the release, you make some changes to business practices, all without admitting that there's any wrongdoing, because we still, as realtors, know and firmly believe that the marketplace is very, very competitive. But this will provide a path forward for the members and for the consumers that they serve.
Who is covered and who's not covered under the releases of the settlement?
That is a very good question. And I will start by saying that NAR has made it very, very clear that when they entered into the negotiations, they really tried with all their might to get releases for all the realtors, for all realtors, but the plaintiffs just wouldn't agree to this. So what they were able to do was get a release for, or get releases for a very, very big number of realtors. So let's talk about those that are covered and those that aren't covered and what's going on here. So, those that are covered, NAR, secondly, over 1 million members. Thirdly, NAR-affiliated MLSs. All NAR Realtor principal companies with a sales volume, with a 2022 sales volume of $2 billion or less, and state and local associations. So generally speaking, those are the categories of realtors or realtor-related entities that are covered by the releases. So let's summarize those that are covered. Essentially, it's a nationwide release from all the plaintiff sellers. The plaintiff sellers are the ones who filed the lawsuits. So it's a nationwide release from all the sellers based on claims alleged in the Sitzer-Burnett case. So it does cover defendants, realtor defendants, in all copycat cases brought by the sellers. So in short, all NAR member agents are covered by the release, copycat or not, unless, and now we're going to talk about some of the exclusions. So those entities or agents that are excluded are companies that have 2022 sales volume greater than $2 billion, non-NAR-related MLSs, and those affiliated with the home services brands, and that is describing the last remaining defendant that hasn't settled in the Sitzer Burnett case, and employees of the Gibson and Umpa cases. Those are the newer seller cases, seller and buyer maybe. They're the new cases that were filed in October and December of 2023 in the Western District of Missouri. So employees of those brokers that are defendants in that cases are not covered. But independent contractor agents of those companies named in the Gibson and Umpa cases are covered by the release. So that's a pretty big number there. So just to kind of repeat a little bit, those affiliated with the home services brands, and I believe that covers agents, employees, and the companies of the home services brands. Secondly, the employees of Gibson and Umpa defendants and those entities. However, the agents of the Gibson and Umpa defendants are covered under the releases. So hopefully that's clear. Now, for those that were not covered, NAR was able to negotiate some opt-in mechanisms. So for instance, a company with the 2022 sales volume of over $2 billion, there's the ability to opt in. They could either opt in using some math formula to determine how much they would pay. That's one option in their opt-in. Or they could enter into non-binding mediation. And I think even as NAR was doing its webinar on Friday that's recorded and on their facts.realtor site, Compass, the news came down that Compass had settled on its own for $57 million. So there are companies that are also settling on their own. So that's just an example of one of the big companies that it was seeking settlement in this matter. Additionally, non-NAR affiliated MLSs, while they're not covered by the release, there are provisions in the settlement agreement where those non-NAR affiliated MLSs could seek to get into the settlement by using the math formula that would, they'd pay a certain amount of money per subscriber to get in, or they would be allowed to enter into non-binding mediation to see if they could come to some agreement to get covered by the releases that are offered by this settlement.
How can offers of compensation be made?
Okay. So, offers of compensation can still be made. They just cannot be made on the MLS. But offers of compensation specifically are allowed to be made off MLS. So, here's some ways that offers of compensation could be negotiated. The buyer, consumer, could agree to pay pursuant to the terms of a buyer brokerage agreement with their buyer broker. So that's pretty straightforward. And there would have to be, there will have to be an amount in these written agreements that we've been talking about that would be ascertainable. And there is a provision in there that says that even if you get paid out of the other side of the transaction, you cannot get more than what you've negotiated with your buyer. I think that makes sense. But anyway, it could also be part of the listing broker agreeing to pay buyer broker compensation. That can happen. It'll just be negotiated and it will be off MLS and not by means of checking a box. Concessions can be made to the buyer. So the seller could agree to pay concessions to the buyer to help with the closing costs. These These questions will involve, I think, some discussions with lenders and some policies maybe changing. But at any rate, there is an ability to, and even on MLS specifically, allowed in the settlement language could be concession for buyer's costs. It just can't be all about paying the buyer's compensation, and it can't be, I think it, I'm trying to look for the word, dependent on paying buyer's compensation. But the bottom line is negotiate what's workable for the parties involved. And I've said this a million times before, negotiation is the key. So there's going to be more to come as far as the lenders and the, you know, the Fannies and the Freddies and the FHA. And there's been a ton talked about with the VA loans, just because VA loans don't allow the buyer, the veteran buyer, to bring anything to the table, even the down payment. So the NAR has said that it is working with the VA to explain what's going on here in the industry, and hopefully those things will change so that veterans, I mean, it doesn't make sense to limit services for our veterans. So hopefully those things will work out. And as you can probably tell, there are a lot of unanswered questions here, but this is our starting point. We know by mid-July, we're going to have some fairly significant practice changes. And I say fairly significant, but not with the exception of no box in the MLS for offer of compensation, everything else you can do by negotiation.
When should we be ready for changes?
Right. Well, tomorrow. No. Okay. I'm trying to make a joke, but we're all a little bit stressed. But for us, we're going to start working on it like yesterday as far as revising forms and whatnot. But we've been tossing around this mid-July, and that is a lot of legal procedure, and NAR sets forth the particular legal procedure real well under Facts.Realtor and some of its FAQs. But the bottom line is there's a preliminary approval of settlement, a class notice, so notice of all the people affected by this settlement is scheduled to go out sometime. I think just bottom line it, I think suffice to say, middle to end of July will be when, generally speaking, and we all know legal things, it's kind of like a construction project. It can experience some delays, but I would say it's better to be ready by mid-July than not, with regard to having written agreements, you know, start thinking about written representation agreements. And I'll interject here as far as written buyer rep agreements. I think so many of us involved in realtor associations, local, I know for myself, for state, and I know our national attorneys have said the same thing. We've been talking about buyer brokerage representation agreements for years as a good idea. So now they're going to be required. But mid-July. So long and winding way of saying we'll hopefully have more guidance and our ducks in a row before that time frame.
What NAR committees will be involved in drafting the rules or making the required changes?
Right. We asked that question of NAR, and NAR said that obviously the committees will be engaged based on their subject matter expertise. So as you might imagine, MLS committees, professional standards committees, broker engagement, already financial and strat plan committees have been involved for the negotiation phases of the settlement. But you know, all of the committees that are relevant to what's going on with these practice changes will be involved, and they will follow the procedure set forth in their bylaws and governing documents, and they will do it as quickly and timely as possible.
Finally, where do I go for more information?
Well, one place, of course, I would suggest is any of Illinois Realtors' media channels, our website, our social media channels, listen to our podcasts, webinars, anywhere you get your information. And we will share anything that we have that's relevant to the situation, and we'll keep you posted on our progress for things like forms, review and revision and creation.
Thank you, Betsy, for joining our podcast today.
Thanks for having me here today. As always, it's I would say fun. I would say there's a certain amount of relief. And I think everyone that's a Realtor member should feel a certain amount of relief and know that we are here to help everybody through it to the extent that we can. Independent business decisions, negotiate, 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 and we'll work to do and provide education and tools and guidance to the extent that we can. So thanks for having me here today.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the latest Illinois Realtors Weekly Podcast. As always, give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And if you want any more content, simply search for Illinois Realtors on your favorite social media app. We'll see you next week.